are the children of Rudolph Frimmel, who were with us a few weeks ago. As a Warner Brothers fledgling, I was privileged recently, along with Al Jolson and others, to help bring a typical Hollywood premiere to Broadway. The occasion was the New York opening of Dame. The songs from the picture have been broadcast for many weeks, and I believe they are still welcome. In this one, the title song, yours truly is assisted by three very lovely young ladies, Dot, Kay, and M, who for some time at least will be with us regularly. What do you go for? Go see a show for. Tell the truth, you go to see those beautiful dames. You spend your dough for bouquets that grow for all those cute and cunning, young and beautiful dames. Oh, dames, a temporary place to you. Dames, you don't recall their names, do you? But their caresses and home addresses linger in your memory all those beautiful days.
What do you go for? Go see the show for. Don't you go to see those beautiful days? You spend your dough for. Okay, you go for. All the cute and cunning, young and beautiful days.
Miss Lillian Carman. 8 months ago, Miss Carman was a shop girl in a metropolitan department store, earning, she tells me, $8 a week. Today, she is the most sought after of the rising new singers, with parts offered her in several forthcoming Broadway shows. A fiery voice personality, plus the training given her by Al Siegel, the old Svengali, accounts for Lillian's rapid rise. She sings a new number by Billy Rose in the current Casino de Paris Review. You're sensational. Miss Lillian Carman.
Extra, extra, five-star final. All the latest news. Terrific, gigantic, colossal, marvelous, tremendous, stupendous, magnificent, unbelievable. You're sensational. You're the headline in my heart. You're the thing that makes it start to beat, 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 beat. You're sensational. Well, I'm both electric charm. Just to tingle in your arms is sweet, 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 sweet. You are the queerest kind of a dearest kind of a hoodoo dear. You make me do the things that I shouldn't do, but I do, do, dear. You're sensational. You should win the Nobel Prize for the way you hypnotize this blase heart of mine. Mine, mine, mine. There are poor guys in this world, and they are terrific. There are poor guys in this world, and to be specific, they've a mighty reputation, reputation, reputation. They are leaders of the nation, of the nation, of the nation. Maxie Bear, Steeler, Dada, you're okay. You just won your big fight for the USA. The way you fought looks like a gag, but when we saw Camara stand, we knew the fight was in the bag. Mr. Dion, man alive. Folks have one kid, but you had to have five. Eddie Cantor is a dunce. He had one at a time. You had five at once. You're the kind of a guy Mussolini wants for. Mr. Winter, Walter Winter. It's a pincher, little pincher, you're okay. You write your columns full of spice. Some are naughty, some are nice. You orchid the good, but stallion of my farm, Broadway.
son and daughter Rudolf Primmel, the composer, played for you here several weeks ago three of their original compositions. Two of them struck me as being worthy of continued attention, so I asked our pianist arranger, Cliff Burwell, to do his best. This is the result. Even as I Love You, by Lucille and Rudolf Primmel, Jr. Strange as a moonlit shore, you're different than you ever were before. What a change in feeling, I find you most appealing. This is what I want you for, to love me even as I love you. Love, dear, to be shared by two. I want you to hold, to love and enfold in my arms. It's thrilling to me, the sweet ecstasy of your charm. Someday, when you belong to find there'll be perfect harmony. I will try my best to make you happy too, if you will only be mine and love me even as I love you. A chest of memories, next to me, the summer of 1931, my engagement in George White's Scandals, and our dance engagement at the Pennsylvania Roof. A song whose lilting Viennese quality made it one of the outstanding hits of that year. Zwei Herzen in Dreivierteltag, or Two Hearts in Waltz Time. Joy complete, oh, what a night for you and for me. Two hearts beat with a love so sweet, while waltzing dreamily. I'll share your charms till the break of the dawn, locked in your arms till a new day is born. Two hearts beat with a joy complete, waltzing to a new paradise. By Helsen in Dreivierteltag, die Hafter mal zusammengebracht. By Helsen in Dreivierteltag, in einer Walzernacht. Ein Viertel Fräuling in ein Viertel Wein, ein Viertel lieber verliebt muss man sein. Zwei Herzen in drei Viertel Tag, wer braucht mehr, um glücklich zu sein? company, it appears that Lou has found a new singer of songs, a young tenor who is, to quote Lou, terrific. The name of this sensation is Aloysius Hare, and Mr. Holtz has brought him here to sing for you tonight. Mr. Holtz and Mr. Hare.
Rudy, I want you to meet Mr. Aloysius Hare, Esquire.
How are you, Mr. Hare? I hear that you are wonderful.
Yes, I am. I guess I'm a genius.
Well, Aloysius, at least you're man enough to admit it. Aloysius, I'm certainly dying to hear you sing.
Well, shall I give it to him now?
No, Aloysius, I'll tell you when.
Mr. Hare, you look like a great athlete.
Well, I am.
Yeah, and you know, Rudy, the most amazing part of the whole thing is that Aloysius only sleeps 4 hours a day. You see, he has a new invention that's going to revolutionize the whole sleeping business. You see, the average man, he goes to bed, say, at 12, he gets up at 8, has 8 hours sleep. Aloysius goes to bed at 4, gets up at 8, and in 4 hours has as much sleep as the average man has in 8.
Fred, I don't understand you. How does he do it?
Well, you see, Rudy, when you sleep, you do plain old-fashioned sleeping. You sleep like this. But Aloysius, he sleeps fast. He sleeps...
Oh, Mr. Holtz.
Yes, Aloysius.
That gives me a great idea.
Yeah, I'd like to hear it, Aloysius.
Well, I think I'll give it to him now.
No, Aloysius. No. No, Aloysius. I'll tell you when.
Say, Lou, where did you meet this great Aloysius Hare?
Well, I'll tell you, Rudy. It was on the Century. I was going to Chicago, and as you know, the Century, it stops in Buffalo, halfway. And the other Century that comes from New York to, that is to say, from Chicago to New York, that stops in Buffalo, too. They both pull in at the same time. It's halfway. One, like, on track 7, the other on track 8, and they both use the same, you know, the old platform. So as I got out, I got off, as is my wont, and as I got off, a little Hebrew traveling salesman, he got off my train, too. He wanted to get a little air, and he was walking up and down, very important, you know, very important, but he didn't fool me. I made him right away. I knew he was strictly clocks and shirts. So as he was walking up and down, another traveling salesman, he got off the other train. He was walking up and down to get a little exercise, and every time the fellow on my train would pass, this fella, he'd look at him, see? He'd look at him, and he said, I seem to recognize that body. He says, his face is family. He says, from where do I know that greenhorn? He said, could that be Levinsky of the Royal Northwest Mounted? He said, maybe it's Levy from Chicago. He said, I'll test him. He walked over, he says, I beg your pardon, stranger. He was from the South. He said, I beg your pardon, he says, are you living from Chicago? The other fellow says, why, certain so. He says, don't you recognize me, Smolowitz from Paducah, Kentucky? The other fellow says, well, shut my mouth. Smolowitz from Paducah, Kentucky, says, I haven't seen you in 18 years net. First fellow says, well, where's you all gone? He says, I've gone to New York. He says, where's you all gone? He says, I've gone to Chicago. He says, well, have a walk, will you please? Take a walk with me. So they're walking up now. He says, how's your wife? He says, oh. He says, how's the kiddies? He says, you said it. So they're walking up and down, and the train fellow hollered, all aboard. He says, come on, please, get on the train already, will you please, if you be so kindly? Get on the train. So they both got on the same train together. So they were sitting there smoking, talking. They became deeply engrossed in conversation. One fellow says, you know, Sam, what a remarkable age we're living in today. He says, look at the things that's happened in the last 18, 19 years since last I saw you. He says, automobiles we got, dirigibles, vibraphones, airmails. He says, it's the most remarkable era. He says, well, just look. Here's our news, Lucy says. You're going to Chicago, I'm going to New York, and we're both on the same train.
Oh, Oh, Mr. Holt.
Yes, yes, sir.
I'd like to ask you a question.
Yes, Aloysius.
Well, shall I give it to him now?
No, Aloysius. I'll send you in.
You know, when I first met you, Mr. Holt.
Yes?
I didn't think we was going to get along.
Really?
But I can honestly say now that I've taken a genuine dislike to you.
Well, that's awfully sweet, Aloysius. All I can say, Mr. Harris, is that although I've only known you a short while, I give you my sacred word of honor that you nauseate me.
Well, that's about the sweetest thing anybody ever said to me.
Oh, that's all right, Aloysius. I only hope that you can go along and be as repulsive to everybody as you've been to me.
Well, I can try.
No, Aloysius, you don't have to try. You just be yourself.
Well, shall I give it to him now?
Well, Aloysius, you know, I don't think that you ought to sing tonight.
Why?
Well, Aloysius, you are, without a doubt, one of the greatest singers in America today.
Why, I grant you that.
Well, thanks, Aloysius. And I dare say that if you sing, the people of America will hear the greatest voice that they've ever heard in their lives.
That's right.
Now, Aloysius, if you're a big hit here tonight, all you can go on the radio is once a week. And that's going to be a catastrophe.
Why?
Well, can't you see, Aloysius? Look, when you're off the air, somebody else will be singing. Is that right?
Yes.
Now, the great radio audience will be listening to these other people. Now, Aloysius, having heard your wonderful voice, the other singers will sound so mediocre to the public, see, that what'll they do? They'll turn off their radios in disgust. Aloysius, I know you love your flag. I know you love your country. I know you want the people of the United States to enjoy themselves. So rather than have 18 or 20 million silent radios in the United States, when you are not on the air, I think that you should make this a clean sacrifice, Aloysius, and not go on. At the embassy in Washington, and it was a terrific affair. And the Maharaja, he speaks no English, and he had his friend with him, who spoke, as you say in French, un petit peu. That means a little bit. So they were making all these speeches about the Maharaja, and this little chap was explaining to the Maharaja as best he could. And finally, they called on the Maharaja, and he got up and he said,
"He's on that sea." Bansi da bandalite, bandalita som visita, hoje para ti, alô.
He sat down. Some little guy got up and he said,
Maharaja say, he loves me.
Hello. And he sat down. Maharaja got up and he said,
Mr. La Panda, Tralati Senda Paliti, Sondo Foti, hello.
He sat down. Little fella got up and he said,
Maharaja say, a feminista of America, ladies, most beautiful in world. Maharaja loves American girl. Hello.
Sit down. Maharaja got up.
And he says, Salasita so. Si salapanda si. Porte silicita. Losi si. Sosanatite. Hello.
And he sat down and the little guy got up and he said, Maharaja would like to know where is the washroom.
At the microphone now, ready for a solo flight, Rudy Valley with saxophone. 15 years ago, it was Rudy's ambition to become the world's greatest saxophonist. You know him instead as a popular singer, orchestra leader, director, and showman. It was the task of directing not only the Connecticut Yankees dance numbers, but also the complete Fleischman show each week that made it impossible for him to continue with the sax. For 2 years, the instrument has remained untouched. Tonight, Rudy goes back to less crowded days and tries a composition written by his old idol, Rudy Weedoff. He plays Sax the Fun. Listening to the Fleischman East Hour, broadcast from the Variety Theater in Radio City under the direction of Rudy Vallee. Rudy presents Lillian Carmen, Ernest Truex, Lou Holtz, and Frost and Dunst.
Enter Frost and Dunst, our old friends Alan and Henry. They have in hand a new number, or rather a medley of numbers, called Where Are the Stars of Yesterday? Frost and Dunst.
Where are the stars of yesterday? Those old familiar names and faces who brought the board and are no more. Each day we see their unfilled places. Some have gone, others linger on, forgotten in the march of time. Giants all, those favorites of the past, their fame goes on to destiny. Some lie.
Who would not stop 5 minutes' flight and bring back days of old to hear Caruso sing again with voice of purest gold?
Sunshine, we wouldn't mind the rain, If Moran and Mac, those two black crows, could make us laugh just once again.
Hello, boy. How are you?
I'm fine. I've been traveling. I've been to Italia.
You don't mean Italia. You mean Italy. What were you doing there?
We had a farm there. We used to raise pigs. We'd buy the pigs in September for $2, and we'd sell them in July.
How much did you sell them for?
$2.
Wait a minute. You bought pigs in September for $2, sold them in July for $2? You can't make money that way.
We found that out. Well, so long, boy. I'll be seeing you.
All right.
I'll meet you at the post office. If you get there first, you draw a blue line. If I get there first, I'll rub it out.
Though she has gone and he remains, the day passed all too soon when the team of Nora Bays and Jack Norworth sang Shine On, Harvest Moon.
Shine on, Harvest Moon. Up in the sky, I ain't had no love since January, February, June, or July.
Modern nonsense, Lucille and Rudolph Primmel Jr. show not only an inherited gift of music, but like Johnny Green and so many other children of fine parentage, breeding and refinement, a tendency to write what Tin Pan Alley sometimes contemptuously calls class songs. The orchestration of I'm in My Second Childhood is by Cliff Burwell. I'm in my second childhood when I'm out with you. I act just like a child would, can't believe it's true. I've gone gaga over your childish face. Just can't help it, it's you with your baby ways. I'm in my second childhood, don't know what to do. I'd feel much better though if you were that way too. Casper Milk Toast, the timid soul. Casper Milk Toast, as you know, is the creation of H.P. Webster, whose delightful cartoon characters appear locally in the Herald Tribune and nationally in some 65 other newspapers. If you saw Ernest Truex as the faint-hearted captain in The Warrior's Husband, you'll appreciate, I think, the logic of casting him as the timid soul. Tonight, Mr. Truex is assisted by two members of his family, his wife, Jane, and his younger son, Jimmy. Miss Florence Baker completes the cast. May I introduce Mr. Ernest Truex? Scene, the suburban home of Mr. and Mrs. Casper Milkshow. More particularly, the Milktoast bedroom. Mr. Milktoast is asleep. Mrs. Milktoast is not.
It is just 3 a.m.
Casper Milquetoast, wake up. Wake up.
Huh? What? Oh, dear. Was I snoring again? I don't know what makes me snore. Probably just a habit I got into when I was sleeping.
Are you awake?
Yes, I think I am. Wait now, I'll pinch myself.
Ouch.
Yes, I'm quite sure I'm awake.
Do you realize what's going on downstairs?
Oh, is something going on downstairs? Well, what are we doing up here? Something's going on downstairs.
Oh, Casper Milquetoast, you're the most exasperating man in the world.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. It's an awfully big world. Probably hundreds of men that do better than I do.
Do you realize that you have a daughter?
Why, of course. Her name's Ellen. I remember her distinctly. My goodness, she's lived here in the house with us for 16 years.
Well, she happens to be down in the library at 3 in the morning.
Oh, you don't say. My goodness. What's she doing down in the library?
She's down there with Eddie Jackson.
Well, nice she has company. Be lonely down there all by herself.
No, I want you to go down there at once.
Oh, my goodness, dear. They don't want me down there.
You go straight down there and show that young man the door.
Well, oh, darling, there's nothing extraordinary about that door. I could show him my collection of lizards.
I want you to send him home at once. The very idea. Heavens only knows what they're talking about.
Well, there's hundreds of things they could talk about. The New Deal. And,
two young people hardly sit in the parlor in the dark at 3 in the morning and discuss the New Deal.
Well, we used to talk about the Spanish-American War.
I know we did, and I've never forgiven you for it.
Yeah, we also used to.
Now, don't argue. First thing you know, they'll be talking marriage or something utterly ridiculous like that.
Oh, now, marriage isn't ridiculous. Lots of people go in for it every day.
What is ridiculous with a girl at 16 and a boy who hasn't even a job? Now, you go down there and put him out.
Well, now, do you think that... I see. What suit shall I put on? My gray with the black specks or my blue?
Oh, put on your dressing gown and hurry.
Uh-huh.
I want Eddie Jackson out of this house in 5 minutes.
All right, dear. Just as you say. Where is my dressing gown?
In your closet, of course.
Oh, yes, of course.
Oh, well, what on earth was that? Don't you know your way around?
Yes, dear. Trouble was I didn't go around.
Wait. I'll turn the light on before you kill yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Casper,
yes?
You put on my kimono. Take it off.
Oh, my goodness. Is this your kimono? I must look silly.
Oh, now, Casper, be firm. Don't turn into a jellyfish when you get down there.
Oh, I'll be firm. Oh, I'll be more than firm. I'll be brutal. I'll just throw open the door and say, see here, young man.
All right, don't tell me. Go down and tell it to him.
Yes, dear, that probably would be the better way. Now, you go to sleep, dear. I'll be back in a jiffy.
Well, shut the door. The window's open and there's a draft.
Yeah, you don't have to tell me. I can feel it. All I have on is this dressing gown. Well, goodbye, dear.
Will you close that door and do as I tell you?
Yes, darling. I'm just going. Oh, my. It's dark out here. Mad. It's dark. Mad. Oh, well, she won't answer. I'll just count the steps so I'll know when I get to the bottom. One. Let me see now. I have to be firm. Two. Well, young man. No, I'll say, well, my boy. Three. Well, my boy, what is the meaning of this? Four, or was it three? No, it's four. Well, my boy, what is the meaning of this? What is the meaning of what? Now, if he says that, I won't know what to say. Five. What do you mean, young man, by keeping my daughter up all night? Have you no home to go to? Six. That was very good. Have you no goat to home to? No, that isn't right. Now, let's see. Seven. I am amazed. I am surprised. Go leave this house. I am a father, and only a father knows a mother's love. Ah, takes dignity. That's what it takes. I wish I'd lit the light, though. Guess I better back the rest of the way on all fours. 8, 9, 10.
Okay, lady. Mother wakes up sure 18.
Oh, she and your father have been asleep for hours.
Oh, hold me tight. Real tight.
I can't hold you any tighter. My arm's gone to sleep.
Well, that's romantic. I think the least you could do is to keep the different parts of yourself awake. Eddie.
What?
Listen.
What's the matter?
Someone's outside the door. I can hear them.
Put the light out and keep still.
The door's open. Oh, I'm scared.
Don't worry. So am I. Keep your hand on the light.
Oh, someone's on the floor. Right at my feet.
Turn on the light, quick. I'll get him.
Father.
Mr. Milktoast.
Good evening, children.
Are you walking in your sleep?
No, crawling. I lost count on the stairs, and I thought it was safer to crawl the rest of the way.
What on earth are you doing down here at this time of night, Father?
Well, I seem to have mislaid my umbrella.
What good's an umbrella at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Well, paper says rain tomorrow, and I thought...
I hope you don't mind my staying so late, Mr. Milktoast.
Oh, no, not at all. No, it's nice to have someone in the house in case it catches fire or something.
Father, Eddie and I have been talking things over.
Well, that's nice. It's always nice to talk things over. Your mother and I do that. At least she does.
And Eddie has something to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Eddie.
Mr. Milktoast,
yes.
I believe in taking the bull by the horns.
Yeah, oh, I wouldn't do that unless I knew the bull awfully well.
Go on, Eddie, darling, go on.
Look, Mr. Milktoast,
mm-hmm.
Do you know what this is?
Why, gracious, of course I do. That's a ring. Pretty, too. What's that little speck there on the top?
That's a diamond.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah, I thought it must be there for some reason.
I bought it for Ellen.
Well, now, that was very thoughtful of you. Why don't you put it on, dear?
Oh, Daddy, may I?
Well, I would. Then Eddie can save the box. They're very handy. I used to save them when I was collecting wood ticks.
Gee, that's swell. Now we're engaged.
Oh, yes, sir, that's right. Huh?
We're engaged, Daddy. This is an engagement ring.
Oh.
Want to be surprised?
Yeah, well, she'll be something. Maybe surprise will be among them. Oh, yes, indeed. But I never cross bridges till they fall on me.
Gee, where's Mr. Milktoast? You're a thief.
Yeah.
Well, let's go in the kitchen and celebrate.
Well, couldn't we stay here and celebrate? There might be mice or something in the kitchen.
Well, there's food in the icebox and something to drink. Who cares for mice?
Yeah, that's right. After all, they're just living off us.
Come on, Eddie, darling. Come on, Dad.
Yeah, don't run into the umbrella stand. That gets on Mother's nerves.
Well, here we are.
Mm-hmm.
Dad, you and Eddie set the table, and I'll see what's in the icebox. I think there's a chicken.
Yes, that's you mean knives and forks and things like that?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh, yeah, that's a chicken, all right. That's the chicken your mother cooked for the bridge party tomorrow, but she can fix another, and there's a chocolate cake in the icebox, too. Mm-hmm. Might as well eat that, too.
Hey, do you like alligator pears?
I love them.
My gracious, I didn't even know alligators went in pears.
What do we drink?
Say, Eddie, take that bottle of wine Mrs. Milktoast bought for her mother. Here, I'll open it.
Careful, Mr. Milktoast.
Ah, gracious me, I know how to open wine.
Out!
Daddy, did it hit you?
Well, just in the eye. I guess I didn't close it quick enough.
Oh, here. Put some cold water on.
Yeah.
Boy, this chicken is swell.
Feel better now, Dad?
Yeah, oh, much better. I can almost see out of it now.
Come on, Pop. Give us a toast.
Yeah, oh, must we have toast? Yeah, I used to know a lot of toast. Now, let's see. Here's a married life. Two people with but a single mind and a home where harmony reigns and discord is unknown.
Casper Milktoast, Mother, what is the meaning of this?
Well, I'm glad you came down, dear. We were just discussing a home where discord is unknown.
Where'd you get that black eye?
Just during the discussion.
Have you gone out of your senses?
Well,
my chicken, my cake, Mother's wine.
Yes, dear, which one would you prefer?
Oh, Mother, wait till you hear the news. Eddie and I are engaged, and Daddy gave us consent.
Yes, what?
Yeah, well, yes, dear. See, Eddie had a ring, and he wanted the box, so I put it on Ellen's finger, and they said that made them engaged.
Ellen, take that ring off and give it back to that young man.
Oh, but Mother...
Now, you do as I say. Eddie Jackson, take your hat and go home.
Yeah, he has a light coat, too. Don't think you ought to take that?
Oh, keep still.
Yep, yeah. I'm going. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Come see us soon again.
He'll come and see us when I say he may.
That's what I meant.
Yep. Good night.
Night.
Good night.
Ellen, you go to your room. I'll talk to you in the morning.
Oh, but Daddy said...
I don't care what he said. He has no more spine than a lizard.
Oh, a lizard has a lot of spine, dear. Yeah, it starts here and it goes... Oh, yes, indeed. I used to collect them.
Well, keep still. Good night, Ellen.
Good night, Margaret. Night, Dad.
Good night.
Well, Casper Milquetoast.
Mm-hmm.
Don't sit there with that idiotic smile on your face.
Oh.
You've engaged your daughter to a nincompoop. Open mother's wine. Spoil my bridge party. What have you got to say for yourself?
Well, dear, I have a very excellent suggestion.
Well, I'd like to hear it.
Well, let you and I finish the bottle, dear, and everything's going to be all right.
Has many times and often sought a means of comparison that would convey to the listener the untold depth of affection. Mr. Berlin's thought was, how deep is the ocean and how high is the sky? My old friend Charlie Henderson tried to convey it through So Beats My Heart for You. That attempted to convey the boundless depths of true love. The writers of this song conveyed the idea as well as any previous attempt. They called it Then I'll Be Tired of You. I'll be tired of you.
I don't want to think about the Rucker. Now, Mr. Pee Wee Kirkland could imagine this. When I didn't have to play to win the series. Now, dancing, pull up a pants, and do the rock to win. Now, lean back.
When winds are tired of blowing, when grass is tired of growing, then I'll be tired of you. Beyond the years, till day is night, till wrong is right, till birds refuse to sing. Beyond the years, the echo of my only love will still be whispering. If my throbbing heart should ever start repeating that it is tired of beating, then I'll be tired of you. You love me even as I love you. Love, dear, ought to be shared by two. I want you to hold, to love and enfold in my arms. It's thrilling to me, the sweet ecstasy of your charm. Next week, the Price and Tea Star brings you Sophie Tucker, Val and Ernie Stanton, Chick Sale, and others. The makers of Fleischmann's Yeast were, of course, among the first to sign the president's re-employment agreement. This is Rudy Valley bidding you all good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.